waxing very large and full in our sky. It'll be full this Sunday night. That's when it'll be most directly opposite the sun in space, and its fully lighted half will face us most completely. There's another prominent object in our sky now that's just past being opposite the sun. It's a star 500 light-years away, bright red Antares, the heart of the Scorpion in the constellation Scorpius. Antares reached its opposition around the end of May. Tonight it and the moon are located in the same general direction as seen from Earth, so tonight we see Antares near the moon. You can identify Antares easily tonight. It's the star basking in the moon's bright glare. Around midnight, when both star and moon are highest in the sky, those with a clear view to the south can pick out the rest of the constellation Scorpius. Antares is located at the heart of the Scorpion. The Scorpion's tail consists of a curved line of stars drooping down toward the southern horizon. There's another bright object in the south in the middle of the night tonight, not a star, but a planet, Saturn, only 75 light minutes away. Saturn's located to the left of Antares and the moon when those two are in the south. To the eye, Saturn looks more like Antares, like a point of light on the dome of the sky. But it really has more in common with the moon. It's a world in our solar system, due to reach its own opposition July the 2nd. Our program is Stardate. We'd like to send you a copy of Stardate magazine. If you want one, send your name and address and $1 to the University of Texas McDonald Observatory, Austin, Texas, zip code 78712. And please let us know where you listen to Stardate. For the McDonald Observatory, I'm Joel Block.
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
We now return to our recording already in...
Has been disconnected.
Brain damage.
Möchten Sie etwas zu trinken haben?
Dies ist viel besser.
Return. return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
We now return to our recording already in progress.
What did you say?
Can you say deja vu?
The number you have reached, 632-6901, is not in service. Please check the number and dial again. 632-6901 is not in service. Please check the number and dial again.
If you do not push a key in 3 seconds, you will be disconnected.
Mein Bruder ist jünger als ich.
And it's 9 minutes after 10 o'clock. The program is Brain Damage. I'm Eric Corley with you until midnight. Very good evening to you on this delightful Saturday evening. Yes, that's what it is, Saturday evening. And we are here tonight. Yes, here as always, doing all kinds of fun things, talking about all kinds of interesting things and crap like that. Our number is 632-6901, area code 516. We take all calls. We don't take collect calls, though. We can't take collect calls. Even if we want to take collect calls, it won't work. So don't even bother. But you can call us at 516-632-6901 and spout your opinion on just about anything from world politics to local sewers, whatever happens to be going on this week. But first, before we do anything else, the regular part of our program, which is becoming more popular than the program itself.
This is your program, Moscow Mailbag.
Or the Andy Griffith Show, whichever you prefer.
Here's Joe Adamov to answer your questions. Mrs. S.T. DeNour, Madison, Wisconsin. Will you, for once, answer all my questions? Why do you always omit a question or two?
Mrs. DeNour, you see, when I do not take a question, it's because I feel it may be of no interest to the majority of listeners, that's all. Or I may feel that the answer would not, hold the listener's attention. Incidentally, we answered one of your questions by mail. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you know a radio station on short waves throughout the world that would answer all the questions people send in? I don't know of any such station. For instance, the Voice of America takes only one question at a time per show and then sends an album to the writer because his question, don't you know, was chosen to be answered. It's considered an honor if one of your questions was chosen. Now, I answer 60 to 70 questions a month. Well, if I didn't do something correctly, pardon me, Mrs. Dinur.
Why did Nagorno-Karabakh become a part of Azerbaijan in the 20s?
Well, that's a $64,000 question. You should have asked Joseph Stalin that, not me. In June 1921, on the decision of the Caucasian Bureau of the Party, a law was passed by Armenia to reunite Nagorno-Karabakh with Armenia. Then Prime Minister of Azerbaijan, Narimanov, contrary to the decree that he himself had signed, demanded to incorporate Nagorno-Karabakh into Azerbaijan, don't you see? Otherwise, he would not be responsible, he said, for any anti-Soviet actions in the republic. Then, under pressure from Stalin, despite the decision of the majority that was passed, another decision was passed without any discussion and without a vote. For the sake, as Stalin put it, of national peace. That was the excuse under which Nagorno-Karabakh, which had a 90% Armenian population, was incorporated into Azerbaijan.
Why did the Soviet Union agree with the other permanent members of the UN Security Council that UNTAG forces to Namibia be reduced when it is clear that South Africa does not really intend to comply with the accords it signed?
Well, I'll do a bit of explaining first. The idea is to give Namibia independence in line with the decolonization of that country. UNTAG is a United Nations group whose aim is to help Namibia in the transitional period. Incidentally, we have Soviet observers there. Now, there was a delay in pulling out South African forces because of the violence that erupted between SWAPO and the forces of South Africa. Today, all the SWAPO forces have left Namibia, and South Africa does not anymore have an excuse for not leaving. And, let me tell you, Mrs. Dinur, the first contingents of South African forces are pulling out. They've begun to comply with the accords that they signed. Namibia's deputy foreign minister said the plan to give Namibia independence can now continue. And Cuban forces, incidentally, are leaving Angola.
Miss Carol Kirk, Waterford, Connecticut. What are the most popular hobbies in the USSR?
Well, I guess reading is a national pastime, stamp collecting all kinds of things. One of my friends collects the tiny bottles of whiskey, rum, vodka, you know, those mini bottles you find in hotels. Others collect phonograph discs of days gone by. We've seen a few demonstrated on television. DXing, contacting shortwave enthusiasts all over the world, is pursued by some. With many, it's keeping a kitchen garden or orchard in a small cottage out of town. They grow fruit, vegetables, flowers. That's a hobby. But this is often not only a hobby, but a lucrative family business. Now, mind you, I'm speaking of hobbies, not of sports. All right, what else? I guess with some, it's puttering around with their car. With others, it's belonging to various clubs. That's popular. Drama, singing, painting, dancing, making all kinds of things. With some, it's constructing and inventing new models of, say, kitchen appliances or machines. They construct homemade models of automobiles, and we've seen many of them on television. Photography is widespread, but I don't think you can call that a hobby anymore. VCRs are slowly coming into their own. Some like to play cards. I don't know whether you call that a hobby. Dominoes, with many. Womanizing is a hobby.
Mrs. William Barthay, Southbury, Connecticut. Why don't we all copy the MiG-30 and we'd no longer need nuclear tension? If everyone is equal, what a nice world it would be. You need more food in the supermarkets, but who doesn't?
This question is now the third from a woman in a row. Well, I hope now I'll never be accused of being a male chauvinist pig. Okay, I think our need for fuller supermarkets is much greater than yours, unfortunately. But no MiG-30 or any other weapon, I assure you, if possessed by both sides, can guarantee security, just like the notorious SDI cannot guarantee anybody any security, and I've spoken about that on many occasions. Because, you see, the other side will always find something to beat it, to overcome it, and what happens is an arms race. What is really needed is not a deterrent or some super weapon, but a gradual cutback of weapons, a cutback to reasonable sufficiency, and a nuclear zero in Europe and the globe, because that is the most dangerous weapon. I have in mind nuclear weapons. Its absence and a minimum of conventional arms is the real guarantee of peace.
Bill Hebler, Rochester, New York. What consumer goods do you already have in adequate supply, quality, and at fair prices?
You see, we are switching some of our defense industry to producing consumer goods. The growth of consumer goods production is greater than the growth of any other goods in any areas. And by that I mean, say, heavy industry and so on. We are investing more in the production of goods for the family. Nevertheless, unfortunately, I cannot name any goods in adequate supply and quality. Of course, if you walk into a store, say a shoe store, there will be shoes on sale, but the choice is very small, and the quality, I'm afraid, is poor. Let's face it. Unfortunately, the list of goods in short supply is growing all the time. It'll take time, because basically we are now on the right road. Self-financing, incentives to produce more and better goods, working at a profit, and facing the market. That is, taking the needs of the market and the demand of the market into consideration, not of the overall plan. But I'm afraid, of course, there are still many stumbling blocks.
How is Rasputin of Tsarist Russia viewed in your country?
Very much like he's viewed in most countries, a so-called religious mystic, a rough-hewn mighty man, a swindler and manipulator who greatly influenced the Tsar's wife, Alexandra, who in her turn influenced Tsar Nicholas II. Our writer, Pikul, wrote a book on Rasputin, and I've read a similar book, I think it was called Nicholas and Alexandra, published in your country. The nobility, you know, I suppose, got tired of him and murdered him.
I have great admiration for the Soviet Army and its contribution to the defeat of Nazi Germany. However, the lack of help during the Warsaw Uprising in 1944 is disturbing to me. How do Soviet historians view Stalin's decision to let the Nazis destroy Warsaw?
You know, we have many blank spots in our history, and some I would call shameful spots, but they're gradually being filled in, and light is being shed on them, and we're learning the truth about our recent history. Now, the official explanation about what you ask, why the Red Army did not come to the aid of Warsaw, was, if I remember rightly, that the Soviet Army had, after a very lengthy advance and very fierce battle called the Operation Bagration, that is, the liberation of Belorussia, it had greatly extended its communication lines and simply did not have the strength to continue the offensive onto Warsaw. It stopped to recuperate and, to bring up its rear, because the offensive was terrific, which it had just undertaken in Belorussia. That was the explanation.
Bill Breland, Charleston, South Carolina. Are unedited issues of United States publications, such as U.S. News, available to Soviet citizens?
You see, some United States newspapers and national magazines are, in small amounts, sold here. For instance, in the newsstand in our lobby here at Radio Moscow, our boys have been buying Time magazine. But, you know, for all practical purposes, this is my opinion, there are not too many people in this country whose knowledge of English is good enough to read the New York Times. But round the clock, mind you, they can listen to Radio Liberty in Russian, financed by the United States Congress. They can listen to the Voice of America, to the BBC, unlike most American people who do not have shortwave sets.
John Holman, Billerica, Massachusetts. We are getting the same old argument here that the ground forces of the USSR are so superior to those of the West that it is necessary to keep the nuclear bomb as a check on the superior forces of the USSR. Would you comment on the balance or imbalance of forces?
This is a similar question to the one I answered from Mrs. Bartley. The bomb, my good friend, is no check. Mrs. Thatcher attributes the lack of war in Europe in the post-war years to the nuclear bomb. But there were no nuclear weapons before World War I, and before World War I, for 40 years, there was also no war in Europe. You see, what Mrs. Thatcher preaches is for both sides to sit on a barrel of gunpowder with many naughty children around you playing with matches. I don't think that that's the best form of security. Now, let's take NATO and the Warsaw Treaty. Our military specialists tell us we have more tanks. NATO has slightly more men in uniform. NATO has 5 times more surface vessels in the Navy and 12 times more ships with cruise missiles on board. We have more interceptor fighters that cannot hit targets on the ground. And finally, let me say, we have 1,500 more short-range missiles than NATO, but NATO has 1,300 more nuclear-carrying planes. There is, you realize, a disbalance, an asymmetry in the weapons of the two sides. But there is, and you cannot deny this, there is an overall parity.
How do we get real security?
We can get real security by stage, cutting back conventional weapons within 5 to 6 years until we all have an equal amount, that is, an equal amount of tanks, guns, planes, so on. And parallel with the conventional cuts, cut back the short-range nuclear forces. So, you see, whilst we're doing that, the West can keep its deterrent. Our ideal would be no short-range nuclear weapons whatsoever. In other words, a third zero.
Christopher Dean, Alexandria, Virginia. What really happened in 1917?
You know, that's like asking what really happened in 1776. 1917 has gone down in history as the year of the socialist revolution in Russia, which overthrew the old system and proclaimed Soviet government. One of its first decrees was the Decree on Peace. Its slogans were land to the peasants, all power to the Soviets, or councils of workers and soldiers. The factories, the banks, industry became public property. The land passed into the hands of those who till it.
Jim Urquhart, King's Country, New Brunswick. Who is in charge of setting up your baseball programs?
We have a National Baseball Federation under the Sports Committee. Then there is the National Baseball League, which unites 12 to 16 teams. Well, that's 12 to 16 so far. We're getting more and more enthusiasts. But I want to end today's mailbag with a joke in the series Political Folklore. A competition was announced for the best joke. First prize, 25 years. Second prize, 15 years. Third prize, 2 compensation prizes of 10 years each.
That was Joe Adamoff answering your questions on Moscow Mailbag. Address your letters to Radio Moscow, Moscow, the USSR. You couldn't do better than write us that letter. Your comments on this show are welcome. Mailbag is on the air every Saturday, Sunday, and Wednesday on the East Coast at 2410 and 0210 UTC, and on the West Coast at 0510 and 0710 UTC. In the 19, 25, 31, and 41 meter bands.
And that was heard here on WUSB in Stony Brook. And Moscow Mailbag is a regular presentation here now.
Associated
the news.
Press News Digest report on June 17 at 06:02.
This is the AP News Digest on Saturday, June 17, 1989. I'm Huge Harry.
And I'm Beautiful Betty.
Here are the top stories at this hour.
_ China, U.S. offering shelter to more Chinese diplomats.
China criticizes economic sanctions, 125 more arrests.
Republicans, Atwater Jim modem confidence _ and a challenge.
Stock ash lactation. FDA sees health risk in use of suppressants.
Cheap wine, period. But will pulling bottles off the shelves, WORK?
Mercury dash reunion, astronauts urge more concern for Earth.
Ireland, election setback for Prime Minister, 5-time loser.
Lebanon, Christian enclave turned into ghost town by bombing.
Ancient city, find Roman city _ compare it to NYC.
Accent Rob, CLUPTERBUSTER _. He'll tell you how _ for $1,000. We'll be back with more news. Until then, this is Huge Harry.
And Beautiful Betty, reporting on the Burphone News.
And News Test.
Thank you very much. That is, of course, the USB News Department bringing you the latest in what goes on. Now for the humans, our own version of the news. Chinese authorities say they've arrested more than 1,200 people since the crackdown began 2 weeks ago in the pro-democracy movement. 8 of those arrested were sentenced to death today. 8 more, actually. It brings, I guess, to about 10 that have been sentenced to death. State-run television says the 7 men and 1 woman beat soldiers and burned vehicles when troops took over Tiananmen Square. Soviet activist Andrei Sakharov says the Kremlin could someday launch a Chinese-style crackdown on his country's democracy movement. Sakharov, visiting the Netherlands, says as a result of the political activity in the Soviet Union, the leadership is becoming scared. The Nobel Peace Prize winner is calling on the Soviet leadership to support the repressed pro-democracy movement in China. A secession effort is reported to be underway in one of the 6 republics that make up Yugoslavia. News reports say Slovenia's parliament has adopted a constitutional amendment granting the republic the right to secede from Yugoslavia. It's unlikely, however, that federal officials in Belgrade will allow the northern republic to break away. Panama's defense forces are rejecting a role in the 3-way dialogue with opposition and government political parties on the country's election crisis. The proposal was made by a delegation from the Organization of American States that was sent to Panama after the government voided the May 7th presidential election. Protesters in Puerto Rico today burned a U.S. flag and tore up another outside the government hall in Old San Juan. Thousands took to the streets chanting "Yankee go home" as they voiced their support for independence for the U.S. Commonwealth. The demonstration comes amidst congressional hearings on the island's political future. Independence Party leader Ruben Berrios says the senator presiding over the hearings, Bennett Johnston, is treating Puerto Rico as a colony. An astronaut who was scheduled to pilot a space shuttle in November has died in a plane crash. S. David Griggs was killed when the vintage plane he was piloting crashed into a wheat field in eastern Arkansas. Griggs flew on a shuttle mission in 1985. An East German airliner burst into flames and broke apart today after an aborted takeoff from East Berlin. Authorities say as many as 14 people may have died. The Moscow-bound jet was carrying 113 people. And finally, former President Ronald Reagan and singer Stevie Wonder were among the hundreds of thousands tonight who turned out in Paris to celebrate the 100th anniversary of the Eiffel Tower. The crowd sang Happy Birthday at the end of an hour-and-a-half sound, light, and fireworks spectacle. Thousands of lights gave the thousand-foot-tall structure the look of a luminous spaceship 1 minute and a giant brooch of glittering jewels the next. Yes, and Ronald and Stevie were there together. Now, for the weather. What kind of weather do we have today? Oh, yes. It's 20 degrees Celsius. That's 68 on the Fahrenheit scale. We're expecting a 50% chance of showers. Yeah, we could certainly use that. Possibly a thunder shower till midnight. And gradual clearing, low 60 to 65. Sunday, partly sunny, less humid, high 75 to 80. Sunday night, partly cloudy, low 60 to 65. And on Monday, considerable cloudiness with a 30% chance of showers, high 75 to 80. Again, that just went down a degree, 19 Celsius now. It's 66 on the Fahrenheit scale. And good evening to you. The program is Brain Damage. We're a call-in program. For the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about China being all serious and kind of depressing, I guess, because whenever you're serious, you somehow wind up being depressing. It doesn't say much for reality, I guess. But today we're not going to talk about that, at least not a lot. I mean, if it comes up, it comes up. There's not much we can do about it. But you're welcome to call in with whatever is on your mind. 632-6901, area code 516. I do want to kick things off, though, with a rather interesting afternote. Afternote? Footnote, yeah. Whatever that word is. Postscript or something like that to all the things that have been going on. As you know, there was a major crackdown on the pro-democracy movement, and what's really been pretty scary is the way that the media over there has been so successful in painting its version of what happened, regardless of what we saw in video. The authorities there, the media there, are saying that it didn't really happen that way. That, as we just mentioned in the news a few minutes ago, the rioting mobs attacked the soldiers, and the soldiers were the victims. And anybody that was involved in the pro-democracy movement was a counter-revolutionary and should be turned in. They posted a list of about 21 people that were most wanted. One of those people was turned in by his own sister. Another was turned in by his own mother. And the mood there is kind of crazy. Nobody knows who to trust. And the government has set up a series of what we call snitch lines. You pick up the phone, dial a number, and talk to the person at the other end and tell them who you suspect of being a counter-revolutionary. And they come and do something about it. It's sort of like turning in your neighbor or your relative or something like that. Well, to make a long story short, these telephone numbers have been made available by various Chinese students in this country, and now computer hackers are getting their hands on these phone numbers, the idea being to call the numbers as much as possible, tie them up, confuse the people on the other end, annoy the people on the other end, or simply tell them the other side of the story. Idea being, maybe you'll be saving somebody's life. Maybe you'll get somebody to listen and say, hey, I could be doing something bad here by answering this phone and following up and turning in people to the government. After all, they did sentence 10 people to death already, and that doesn't count all the people that were killed, the thousands of people that were killed. So what we are going to do, and I believe this is the first radio show in the country, probably, to give out these phone numbers. We are going to give out these numbers. We're not saying necessarily that people should call and harass and make the phone ring a lot and tie up the line so that people can't get through. But it might be something worth considering when you think about the craziness that's going on over there. We are going to try these numbers now, and I'm going to give out the numbers. And please let me know what you think of this, you can call us and give us feedback. All calls to China can be placed directly from most telephones. Of course, you'll have a lot of difficulty getting through because it's kind of crazy over there, but I'm sure we'll get through to one of them. It might not answer because what time is it over there? It's 13 hours ahead of us, so it's actually, no, it should answer. It's 11:35 in the morning on a Sunday, so we might very well get an answer. Of course, we won't be able to say anything to them because it's doubtful they speak English, but let's see what happens. Every call to China, of course, gets prefaced with the 011 to tell you that you're going to make an international call. 86 is the country code for China, and 1 is the city code for Beijing. All of these numbers are in Beijing. Some are 7 digits long, some are 6 digits long. And the first number we are going to try to call is, again, international access 011, country code 86, city code 1. The telephone number itself is 512-4848. That number once again, 512-4848. And let me dial that number now and see if we get through. We'll probably get a recording a few times, but we could easily get through to China and have somebody at one of these snitch lines pick up the phone and ask us who we want to condemn. Nope, that one did not go through.
Your call cannot be completed at this time in the country you are calling. Please try your call later.
Okay, no problem. We'll simply try another number. And again, we have about, I'd say close to a dozen of these numbers that were passed around. And again, they're being distributed by Chinese students, and now they're being distributed by computer hackers who are intent upon tying them up and preventing the snitch lines from being used over in Beijing. This one is 512-5666. Oh, well.
Your call.
Okay, we'll try a six-digit number now. The six-digit one seems to go through more frequently for some reason. This number is 443-292. And again, we are calling snitch lines in Beijing, numbers that are being given to people to turn in other people. I imagine if they had something over here, they'd make it one of those 540 numbers. Only $20 a call. I think we have something here. Well, that certainly is a long ring, isn't it? Leads me to believe it's not a ring at all, but it's not a busy signal either. I wonder what that is. Well, that's only one way to find out. Let's ask the operator what that was. Oops, sorry about that. That should not happen. Maybe there's something wrong with the phone. Maybe so many people are calling it at once that the circuit's completely fell out of the sky or something.
AT&T, may I help you?
Yes, hi. I was hoping you could answer a question for me, operator. I was just making an international call, and instead of getting a ring or a busy signal, I just got a long, continuous tone. Do you know what that means?
The phone may be out of order.
Is that what you get when the phone's out of order?
Could be.
Okay, thank you. Nothing like a technical explanation from an operator. Okay. Our next number in our continuing series is, 256-3483. Again, country code 86, city code 1. This is another tattle line in Beijing. By the way, if you want to turn somebody in, you can call us, 632-6901. Okay, that's ringing.
Hey.
Hello. Oh. Well, I couldn't make out what she said. Did you hear what she said? She didn't seem to say anything. Oh, well, if anyone there knows Chinese and that little sound she made meant something, then we might have a key to this whole thing. Okay, next number we're going to try is a similar one to that one. 256-7220. We'll see if we get anywhere with them. So you can see, we are getting through on quite a few of these calls, despite the busy circuits. There we go.
Hey.
Hello.
Hey.
I don't suppose you speak English, do you? Boy, they're crabby, aren't they? My God, they won after all. They put down all those crazy students. You think they'd be a little bit jubilant, you know? I mean, oppression is here again. Ah, don't have to be so crabby about it. I mean, I could have been a customer. I could have been somebody turning in one of the biggest conspirators since Chiang Kai-shek or whatever. Okay, the next number is 372-316 in China. Obviously, that's a six-digit number. We're getting through quite a bit, aren't we? Oh, we didn't get through that time. Spoke too soon. Okay, we'll try another one then. By the way, our telephone number, and we're going to go to the phone calls right after we finish making our phone calls, is 632-6901, area code 516. Tell us what you think of turning in, giving out the tattletale numbers. This one we're calling now is 664-215. Again, country code 86, city code 1. Sounds like they picked up before it even rang. I've got to send a touch tone down their way. No, that didn't do anything. Well, we can just sit here staring at each other over the phone for hours. I'm not going to continue to play that game. The next number we're going to call is 665-088. As you can see, there are quite a few of these numbers given out. And people are calling them. Whether they're calling them with valid information or not is something that remains to be seen. Obviously. Rather a loud one. Okay, no answer at that one. Let's go to the next one then. And that will be 371-554. Sounds like I met with an accident. Oh, well. Okay, we've got two more numbers to try, and then we'll be going over to the telephones, to our telephones. This number is 872-179. I do believe it's ringing. Hello, anybody there? Are you ashamed to speak? Apparently so. Well, there's no point wasting our time with them. The final number we're going to call in China is 873-814. And we have two open lines, 632-6901. Give us a call with your comments, opinions, and whatnot. Okay, that's it, that's it. They're just not very efficient over there, are they? Either that or they're realizing that nobody else is going to call these things and be serious about it. Well, what we've been doing is we've been calling the snitch lines that the Chinese government has been putting out over their TV stations and radio stations. Somehow that information has fallen into our hands through the help of various Chinese students and computer hackers who are getting their hands on these phone numbers. And calling them repeatedly, tying them up, sending false information, or speaking to the people on the other end and convincing them that what they are doing is wrong. That kind of action can actually save lives, believe it or not. And we are giving out those phone numbers in the hopes that other people will do the same thing. To round it up, again, the numbers are, they all begin with the 011 international access, country code of 86 for China, city code of 1 for Beijing, and the telephone numbers 512-4848, 512-5666, 443-292, 256-3483, 256-7220, 372-316, 664-215, 665-088, 371-554, 872-179, and 873-814. And this is not an official act of WUSB. This is an official act of brain damage. So remember where you heard it. It's 1049. Our telephone number is 632-6901. Let's go to the phones. Good evening. You're on the air.
Hi, Eric. It's Adam.
Hi, Adam. It's Eric.
Yes,
what's up?
I realize that.
What's going on?
Those numbers.
Yeah, what about them?
Certainly interesting.
They certainly are, don't you think?
Yeah. It's fun for the whole family.
I think so. We sit around a telephone and just keep calling. There's enough there for just about everybody.
Yeah, I'm going to order three more phones for my house so everybody in my family can call at the same time and bother them all.
Now, as these numbers get pranked continuously, of course, they're going to be introducing new phone numbers, and of course, we will bring those to you as soon as we get them. It's not much. It's kind of a ridiculous thing to do. I realize that, but at this point,
it's ridiculous anyway.
Well, yeah, what else can we over here do except something like this?
Ridiculousity or something.
Uh-huh. So what else is on your mind?
Let's see, I have another phone number here everybody might like.
Well, tell me what it's for before you give it to me, because we don't want to have people getting upset at us.
A free demonstration video cassette of the Northstar PDX system.
Say that one more time.
You can receive, if you call this number and you tell them your name and address,
uh-huh,
free promotional video cassette about the Northstar telecommunications system.
Okay, well, if you're interested in that, what's the number?
It's 1-800-NORSTAR.
That's wonderful. How much did they pay you to advertise them like that?
Nothing, no. It was on the radio. It was just, you see...
Yeah, it's on the radio now. I know that.
Oh, but it was advertised on a different station. And the thing is, they only have a limited number, so I guess if everybody who is interested in them, or interested in various hobbies that have to do with telecommunications, gets them,
uh-huh,
then other people won't.
Uh-huh. Well, Adam, why don't you order me one, send it to the station here.
I think I might do that.
That would be very nice.
All right, and also those... I saw on TV, right?
Yeah.
They had this thing about the Chinese army.
Uh-huh.
And about how crappy it is, pretty much.
Well, it's not that crappy when it comes up against unarmed civilians.
Yeah, I know, but the truth that they brought up against people there were the best Chinese troops in the country.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you should say that, because I read something in the paper, I believe it was yesterday, that said that whole story about the 27th Regiment coming in and being the nasty people, and the 38th Regiment was going to fight them because they didn't approve of what they were doing, was set by the Chinese government. They spread these false stories about that, the reason being that way the People's Liberation Army wouldn't have to take the full blame for this. It was just one bad regiment.
And that way they could say, well, we were protecting the city.
Uh-huh.
Because they're trying to change it all anyway.
Yeah, and they're succeeding.
They were the best armed in the country, even though their tanks were 10 years old. And the guns that they were using were from, like, Vietnam.
Yeah, but, I mean, where do the Chinese have to fight? They only fight themselves. They fight in Tibet and they fight in Beijing now.
I know, the thing is, everybody's saying, well, the Chinese army is so huge. Except that most Chinese units don't receive any supplies at all. And they all grow their own food, which means that if there was a war, let's say they invaded Idaho or something, they'd have to set up a potato farm or something so that they could live.
Uh-huh.
It's not like the U.S. Army where they have special supply divisions who bring in food so everybody can fight, and there are special people who are in charge of, you know, the supply command. There, it's like, if you can find it, then shoot it and eat it. If you otherwise grow it, and it would sort of, you know, severely limit their mobility.
I see, yes. Well, I mean, there's different ways of doing things.
In other words, what they're doing is what everybody before, up till Napoleon did. After that, he pretty much stopped it, and he had people, you know, he had special supply regiments who would, you know, bring up supplies from the rear.
Well, at this point, that's hardly what I think is the most important part about this army.
So the
I mean, they call themselves the People's Liberation Army, and all they've done, pretty much, they've liberated the people from planet Earth to explore the reaches beyond, you know.
I know. The Chinese army, though, even though they look deficient and everything on TV, and the people you see marching around Tiananmen Square right now, the soldiers who were sitting on trucks, you know, washing water on the rocks there to clean off the blood that isn't there because there were no riots.
Uh-huh.
But they're just washing it off for its own health. You know?
Yeah. We'll see how history gets rewritten, you know. I don't know. During the Cultural Revolution, the government only lasted 6 months after a similar type of event, not quite on this scale, but it'd be interesting to see, in 1 year, will the same government be in power there?
Well, the thing is, though, that the way it seems right now is I think that they will be, which is unfortunate, but they're so entrenched in their power. It's like, there was a political cartoon in a newspaper the other day. It was, it had to do with the Soviet Union and Poland, but it applies to China also. It had Lenin, you know, power to the workers, right? Then it had Stalin, you know, power to the Soviets, you know, and then everybody else had their own little version of it. Then they have the guy who is at Solidarity, Lake Walesa, and he said, power to the workers, and then there was this Soviet general who says, you know, who calls him a traitor. And, you know, the point was that they had lost sight of their original goals.
Which were?
Which were, you know, so that the people could be free of somebody controlling them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, you know, they had one abusive totalitarian government, and they came in to wipe them away and replaced it with another abusive totalitarian government.
Well, it's happened many, many times. I saw another cartoon showed people in China, or leaders, actually, of China, Soviet Union, the United States. Actually, I wouldn't say leaders, probably people. Yeah, I forget the exact cartoon, but they were...
really are people.
They were defining democracy, and both China and the Soviet Union, people from there were defining it as the Statue of Liberty, and the people from the United States were defining it as a dollar sign.
Yeah.
That's a pretty interesting analogy there.
I think so, that once they had it, they would define it as the dollar sign also.
I don't know. I don't know if it's necessarily true.
We've had it for 200 years, and everybody's so used to it. We've never really... yeah, there was a civil war, but it's like everything recovered pretty well after that. And we've had our problems, but pretty much there's been a pretty, you know, easy transition between different, you know, elected presidents. And if you think about it, there is a revolution in this country every 4 years. But it goes pretty smoothly. They even turned it into a ceremony. They have it on TV, and they spend millions of dollars on floats and all kinds of nice things like that.
Uh-huh.
Everywhere else, look at South America, when they change government. Some places, I think it's like, I forget which place it is, but there are countries in South America that have a coup every 6 months.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's like...
it's like, well, yeah, they change government pretty often, but...
it's an event to be looked forward to in most cases.
I know, they had in, I think it was in Argentina. I think it was somewhere like that.
Well, Argentina had elections.
No, there was somewhere there where they had a revolution, and there was a friend of mine who was there while they had it.
They had a coup before they had the elections. And then after the elections, they'll probably have another coup. And then they won't have elections, and then another coup after. There usually is two coups, an election, two coups, an election. That's the way it works.
Yeah, it's like for a while there, it was sort of like, you know, in Russia, if you wanted to go to their, I guess, their premier, whatever his name is, to one of their funerals, you could buy, like, season tickets because they died so often.
Yeah, well, I don't think that's going to happen anymore. At least not for a while.
No, well, this guy is 50, and they just... did you hear what happened in Poland, though, when they elected the two houses? The people in the upper house were elected could be Solidarity people.
Right.
And all of them except one were, and the other guy was an independent guy. In the lower house, they could have only been communist people. But the thing is, according to Polish law, you have to have a 50%, you know, a majority.
Right, they were the only people...
voted for any of them.
The only people running, and they lost.
Yeah, no, it's like they were running against themselves, and they lost, because not enough people voted to have a majority.
I would say there's not very much confidence in the system over there.
Not really.
Anyway, Adam, I'm going to go to some more calls. Thanks very much for calling.
Okay.
632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Oh, man, it's Sammy.
Hi, Sammy.
Turn the radio down. I'm on the radio. Yeah, yeah. You still talking about China?
A little bit, yes. Well, we were giving out those phone numbers before.
No, I didn't call no Chinese people on the phone or nothing.
Uh-huh.
Sometimes I call them maybe just for takeout.
Yeah, okay. What else is up?
Well, anyway, I tried to find the BBC.
You tried to find the BBC?
Tried to listen on a radio, the BBC, and I couldn't get it.
Well, what kind of radio do you listen to?
It was something with a SW1 on it, like a shortwave, it said.
Uh-huh.
And I couldn't get the BBC, and they didn't talk about China, but someone told me that the BBC had a lot of extra stuff on there besides China. Like,
oh, sure.
Morocco is in the midst of a civil war.
Are they again, huh? Well, now, you said you didn't get it. Now, did you get anything on your shortwave radio?
No, we got, like, boats and stuff.
Boats. Sounds like you're listening to VHF or Marine or something like that.
You just got bad stuff. It was no good.
Uh-huh.
But anyway...
did it sound like FM or did it sound like AM?
It sounded like fuzzy.
Uh-huh.
Very, very, a lot of static.
Because you could take the worst kind of shortwave radio and you'll still be able to get BBC in Moscow because they transmit from Canada and Cuba, respectively. So you don't have any trouble receiving them.
Well, I don't know, I had the wrong radio. It looked like an army radio, but it was got like a, from a radio shack.
Well, hit it real good on the side. If that doesn't work, just look for another one.
Somebody stole it.
Oh, then you're in luck.
But anyway, the thing with China is they're executing people who burnt trains. Now I don't see no reason they shouldn't execute them if they burnt a train.
Well, you see, they burnt the train after the train ran over six people that were demonstrating, so they were kind of disappointed at the train, let's put it that way.
But they seem to be in the wrong place. They can run over by a train.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you know, execution for hooliganism is something kind of scary, I think, because was it hooliganism or was it a spirit of rebellion by a vast majority of the people?
Many people are going to die if they're going to be revolting.
Yes, you could put it that way.
Because it says the tree of freedom thrives on the blood of people willing to feed the tree.
Uh-huh.
I read that.
Those are wise words, Sammy.
I didn't say them.
Yeah.
But I got to go because the guard's coming.
Okay, well, you say hi to him.
Goodbye.
All right, 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
This is Frank.
Huh?
Frank.
Frank?
Yes.
Hi, Frank. Where are you calling from?
Medford.
Well, what's on your mind today?
Hello.
Frank?
This is Lisa.
Lisa? Yeah. Frank and Lisa?
Lisa.
Hi, Lisa.
Lisa.
Where are you calling from, Lisa?
Lisa.
Lisa, you're stuck. Tell Frank to hit you on the head or something.
Lisa.
This is alternative radio, folks.
Lisa.
Kid, if you can keep this up, we'll keep you on until midnight. How's that? Couldn't do it. Okay. 632-6901. Conquered over a kid named Lisa. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Yes. Hello, Eric.
Hi. How are you?
Pretty good. Yourself?
Okay.
Good.
Who is this?
That China thing. I was definitely impressed.
Uh-huh.
It's good to see, you know, taking a stand like that. I agree with you on a lot of the what's going on as far as the government being and the People's Army being totally I can't find a word to say it, but I mean it's incredible, honestly.
Oppressive, scary, brutal, heartless,
cold-blooded.
How's that?
Take your pick.
Yeah.
But I think that the what I've heard through newscasts and whatnot, I've heard that they're now denying that one single student was killed by any one member of the army in Tiananmen Square.
Well, they are saying that, and I'm sure that the next logical step will be for them to say that the mob in its frenzy killed themselves, because obviously they're going to have to explain, well, where are all these students if they didn't die at the hands of the army? Yeah, it's a step-by-step type of a thing. You know, if they reached their conclusions at the very beginning and came out with their story, everybody would say that's horrible, that's not true at all. But when you do it a little bit at a time, people go along with it, and that's what's really frightening here.
And also with the propaganda, as you said, about the 32nd Regiment,
uh-huh.
If I'm correct, about the so-called, as the media like to put it, civil war
uh-huh.
going on in China just to scare the Western media and put it in a frenzy was... I mean, they're playing it very well, honestly. You have to give Ping and Dong a lot of credit there.
Yeah, well, this is, I was thinking about this the other day. This is really a war of media more than anything else. I mean, the United States government really isn't involved at all. they haven't said a word about it, virtually.
True.
But American media, they're the ones that were there. They're the ones that saw it and reported it back to us. And who is fighting them? Chinese media. They're reporting it in a completely different way. And the two different ways of presenting the story are what's colliding here. It's kind of a war of two different technologies, sort of.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more. With the actual phone calling, it was the best entertainment I've had all week.
Let me say you can make the calls collect. You can if you don't want to take the chance of paying for a call to China, you can make the calls collect. You can make it ring once and hang up. But the most constructive things that have been going on, I read this in a story. A Chinese student from this country talked to somebody on the other end for about 10 minutes,
mm-hmm.
and gave them all kinds of false information. Then told them that what he had told them was completely false, and then talked to them for another 10 minutes. About various other things, concluding with the woman on the other end saying, "If you were really Chinese, you would have faith in what your government was saying. And he said, if you were really Chinese, you wouldn't go around turning in Chinese students and in effect killing them. And there was a pause on the other end, and then the person hung up after a while. I think he reached her.
The people that are being sentenced to death now are 10, I believe, correct?
10 altogether, yes.
But the first three were for the train. I haven't heard about the latest ones. Do you have any information on that?
Let's see. We have, actually, 8 of those arrested were sentenced to death today. Were there 3 sentenced to death before?
The first three. That at first, I believe that was on either Thursday or Wednesday. You had 3, I believe. Those were the first 3.
Okay, well, according to this, they beat soldiers and burned vehicles. A capital offense there. Those are what those 8 people supposedly did.
I can see that.
Now, what I'd like to know is, you know, did the soldiers remember them and say, aha, you're the person that beat me in the crowd of 2 million people?
Well, actually, what they're relying on is, what I've heard is Western media shots, the cameras that they've confiscated.
Uh-huh.
From the CBS News, I believe one CNN camera was found, and that they actually, in turn, used that film and still shots and placed them on local television in China.
Yeah, there was one guy that ABC had interviewed, and they intercepted the satellite feed, and then the next day he was in jail denouncing what he had said.
Right. And
straight out of Animal Farm. Straight out of Animal Farm.
Like
and
you 1984. Said, a death sentence for being a hooligan. It's not justified, but it is communism in the Eastern world, and at this point, as American, I mean, we can't see it from their point of view. However,
who is definitely not just. Sir, who is they? You see, they, I don't think, represents the people anymore. If I thought they represented the people, I would say, you know, let's stay out of it, and it's none of our business. But obviously, the people here are the ones that were making the statement. This wasn't an American movement that was forced on them. This was their own spontaneous movement that was crushed by a bunch of octogenarians. And, you know, it's a popular movement. That's why I think we should be supporting them.
In your own opinion, do you think at this point, with the death sentences, and I'm sure there are going to be many more, and I'm sure there's much more is going to be unfolded in the days to come, do you think George Bush or James Baker will have anything to say about that?
Oh, well, I'm sure they'll say something. Even Gorbachev has said something. They really can't do anything. I'm not expecting them to do something, but there can be token. I mean, there should be a UN resolution condemning this. How come I haven't heard of one of those?
Well, it happened with the Libya bombing. I don't know. I guess that was important enough for.
There should. I mean, you know, to hell with this. With this talk of if we criticize them too much, we'll lose the relations with them. They should be made to realize that killing their citizens like that is an atrocious thing, and they will suffer for it in world opinion. And let's not tread lightly, because you know no one should get special treatment here.
Right, I agree. It's an atrocious situation with that. I mean, obviously there's no resolution in sight. Are you pleased with what George Bush has done so far as the economic, quote-unquote...
Well, he hasn't really done anything economically. He stopped sending the military arms, which, yes, I mean, I'd definitely be very displeased if he didn't do that.
Right.
I don't really know if there's much more he can do. If he did more... you know, as far as he can cut off, make some kind of economic sanction. I think that would work with South Africa, and I think it would work with China too. Basically, I think we should ask the students somehow, get through to them. What should we do? What do you want us to do? And listen to them, because they're the people we really want to help.
Right. Well, at that point, that's nearly impossible for that actually to happen.
Mm-hmm.
To get in touch with the students. You know, the government student, I mean, the United States government, I think to get involved on a personal level, which would be actually going to the students, that would definitely be, the Chinese government would definitely see that as a violation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I think there's more that we as people can do than our government can do. That's why we're giving out the phone numbers, because it's more of an individual person type of a thing rather than a government thing. You know, we want to reach those people.
Well, it really depends where you stand. I mean, I'm sure 75% of America, I heard 2 callers previously, they would rather talk about the North Star. We give out free phone numbers on the air, whatever. I mean,
yeah.
There's a certain apathy, especially among today's college students, the same age as these students rioting. I mean, the yuppie current '80s child who doesn't understand what's going on, would rather say forget about it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the average, I mean, pardon my expression, white trash wouldn't really care. But
I don't know.
Those few, and unfortunately, we're the minority.
I don't know if color really enters into it, because, you know, there's black trash,
the
too.
Actual, the actual, just the middle-aged,
I mean,
white color.
There's Chinese people over here that aren't really following events over there. You know, so it's something. It's not just one particular class of people. It's a problem that's in all classes around here.
Exactly.
How can you not follow
something
like that?
I've heard it compared to the actions of by Adolf Hitler, which I think is totally. I don't see the relationship. I see more of a relationship, not to on an extent. Not as big as the situation in Tiananmen Square was, between Kent State. The murders at Kent State in the late 1960s, early 1970s, and the situation that happened in Tiananmen Square, only because it was something that was pushed. You can say, from a pro People's Army stance, that martial law had been declared days previous to the actual murders that happened in the square.
Mm-hmm.
So, therefore, anyone that was in the square at the time knew the risks, and...
Not really, though, because if you kept track of what was going on, you would see the soldiers make a feeble attempt to try to get into the crowd, and they would be pushed back by the crowd, and everybody would end up singing and dancing. Now, to the people in the crowd, that seemed like a really wonderful thing. You know, the soldiers were on our side, and everybody was nice and happy. But to the leaders, they see it as trying to send the soldiers in to quell the mob or to disperse the mob and having them fail. Nothing more, just that. The soldiers have failed to do it. That means we have to bring in more soldiers, stronger soldiers, and be ruthless. So it's like they didn't really look at the pictures, they just looked at the words. You see?
Yeah, I see. But it's, I'm not looking forward in a positive sense, but I'm interested to see what's going to happen in the next, what the next days or weeks are even going to bring, and how, you know, how the Western world and even, as you said, the Soviet Union and some Eastern Bloc nations are going to deal with the current executions and current death sentences.
Well, the important thing is for it not to be forgotten, like, say the Hungarian Revolt in 1956, which only today is being acknowledged as something positive. We have to make sure that this doesn't get erased or forgotten about for 30 years.
Right. Well, I doubt it will be. I doubt it. I mean, although, you know, you see now that it's kind of moving out. It's moving to the 21 page, 21st page of the newspaper.
Uh-huh.
It's still. I mean, it's still a current issue. With how reactions are still coming out, and I'm sure that the Chinese movement in the United States, the Chinese population in the United States, is going to push as they have been. I'm sure that other United States citizens that support these students will continue supporting them.
And we have to think of new imaginative ways to penetrate and to reach people, like you know. People have been sending faxes over there with news accounts of what's really going on. That's never happened before. I can't recall something like this.
We've never had the technology to do that before.
Right. So we can use technology to further the cause of freedom, democracy, and human rights.
Yeah. Well, as far as I see, written letters would be wasted time because, of course, they'd be thrown away in a matter of seconds. What you're doing with the phone calls, to an extent, it works to a point. But you're talking about thousands and thousands of people. You need to do it successfully, or else it would just be whisked away.
Uh-huh.
The fact is, I hadn't heard of that, but that's, you know, another. I mean, there is just a point where we run out of things we can do, and things we can say, and how we can help.
Well, don't forget, there's millions of us, you know, and there's. There's
of
really no
there's millions of them also.
There's billions, yes. I believe 1 billion, and that's something else that that might be influencing our non-action. The fact that we're very close to selling all these Chinese people technology and having them become a part. You know, there's a huge Kentucky Fried Chicken over there. There's all kinds of electronic potentials. do we want to write off 1 billion possible consumers like that, or are we willing to close our eyes to what happened?
Well, I don't think that there's a question that we're not going to play it to as a strong. I don't think we're actually going to come out and harshly denounce the Chinese government because of that fact, because capitalism is running rampant in the People's Republic of China, and there's nothing, you know, we want to do about it to even, you know, stop. I mean, we have so many investments. Same thing with South Africa to an extent.
Uh-huh. That's a good parallel,
saying,
yes.
Gee, this is bad. What's going on? I think we should get out of there. And even that's not happening in all cases.
Okay, well, thanks very much for calling, sir.
Okay.
Our number is 632-6901, 15 minutes after 11 o'clock. And the radio station is WUSB in Stony Brook, New York, which is a pleasant little place in Long Island that, nothing really bad ever happens here. It's just kind of peaceful. Rains a lot, but that's about it. 632-6901, area code 516. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
So basically what he was saying is that money makes the world go round.
Yes.
Previous caller there. But, yes, commenting on the telephone numbers, I think it's very interesting that you actually bring that to people's attention, because, you know, I think a lot of people really don't have an idea as far as what is going on in, like, as far as computer technology and data communications, and the fact that there is software on the market that you can buy, put it in your computer, and you can call any one of those numbers all the time.
Uh-huh.
With infinite, like it just, I have this software on my computer. All you have to do is hit redial forever. And as long as that computer is plugged in, that will constantly ring the phone.
And you can use your computer for something else at the same time.
Yeah, well, a million other things, but what do you mean specifically?
Well, I mean, you could just set your computer to call that number over and over, and then do whatever you do with your computer usually.
Yes, you can do that also, yes.
Right.
That's right. There's software that lets you do that. But
so you're not tying up your computer from yourself.
Right, sure. And the thing is that even if a human being answers the phone, you know, obviously they're going to get some sort of a tone or whatever from the computer, and they'll just hang up the phone, and then the thing will sense that and will redial it again.
Right. Actually, they won't get a tone because the tone is supposed to come from the called party.
Right.
If they send a tone and then you send a receiving tone,
right,
so you won't
right.
send anything if they don't send anything.
So the computer's just sitting there waiting for something to happen, and it's just not going to happen. But,
right.
Also, keeping with that in mind, I wrote down the phone numbers when you had announced them because having access to a computer and a modem, there's things called bulletin board services, which I'm sure you're very familiar with.
Uh-huh.
And they have, it's kind of hard to explain, really. It's just a bunch of people. It has 16 lines, 16 modems, so therefore 16 different people can all call up at the same time, and you can type to one another and communicate, and it's, you know, there's services all over the world.
Uh-huh.
Just an incredible amount of phone numbers, and you can also download software, which means get free programs. You can upload software, which means give them free programs, and then everybody who is a member, you know, you can exchange ideas, exchange electronic mail. It's just amazing, and they also have public boards or whatever, which is just, what do you call it? Like, you have different categories to talk about.
It's like subscribing to a magazine.
Exactly, and you just leave electronic mail either to private people, or you can post a public message, which means that every subscriber to this bulletin board service can get in there and read all of these public messages. So all we need to do is, you know, write these phone numbers on bulletin board services like that, and then more people who have access to computers and dialing up phones could really flood those phone lines.
Oh, sure. I can tell you right now those numbers are being spread around on the hacker bulletin board systems, and computer hackers are able to utilize the kind of thing that you have in your computer, but also to plant it in other computers. Like, let's say you would get on a network somehow and call a machine in Japan, and you would tell that mini computer or that even super mini computer to just make calls all the time to this number. They could conceivably hook up to a computer in China where they would get through all the time and tell them to constantly call that number. That might be why those people sound kind of upset, because that might be happening to them right now. And also might be why we didn't get through to quite a few of the numbers.
That's incredible. I mean, just this whole situation It's just, it's so amazing. It's just so 80s. It's like the 80s situation, you know, because of technology and the media. I mean, we have such incredible mass media now, and it all comes down to the same thing. It all comes down to data communications, the exchanging of, you know, computer information from satellite to satellite so we can instantly get news 24 hours a day. We didn't ever, we haven't had this, you know, we've never had this type of information available at the flip of a switch, you know, to us before.
Exactly.
And it's just an amazing story. And I've
got something. High tech means absolutely nothing if individual people can't get their hands on it to make a statement.
Exactly. And this thing that, you know, a lot of people, you know, it's very fashionable these days. I mean, this is like a you know, a small example of the way technology can sometimes be abused. Is that people? I hear so many people say that they hate answering machines, and it's like they refuse to talk to a machine. Is what their logic is. And all I think is, like, you know, it's fairly convenient. All you have to do is, you know, speak your name and number, someone can get back to you. But they're like, I don't know, they get into this whole thing. Oh, I hate those machines. I hate talking into them and all this other stuff. And it's, I don't know, it's just that kind of ignorance, to me anyway.
Uh-huh.
Is on an extremely massive level because there's just so much happening in certain worlds that, you know, is, you know, technology being the example here, that's just absolutely astounding of what's going on, you know.
I mean, we've advanced so far beyond answering machines right now. We're into voice messaging systems and beepers and faxes, and there's just so many different ways of getting through to somebody, and lots of times you just don't reach the person you're trying to call. It's an accepted fact of life.
Yeah, with all the technology, we still can't get through sometimes.
No, that's true.
Yeah, but it was one, and also I heard that but some technology, when you produce it, like certain computer chips and I think CRTs, they don't break down, and also they polluted the groundwater out in the Silicon Valley, and there's a lot of waste involved. So, you know, it's a catch-22 situation, which, you know, what do you do? I don't know which way to go. You say, okay, we're going to not develop technology to save the environment, or are we going to develop technology that's going to eventually save the environment? So,
well, you develop technology, but you keep in mind what the cost is, and at the same time as you're developing technology, you develop another type of technology to take care of what you're causing.
It's true.
I mean, you know, it's the same kind of advancement. You have to think of solutions as you go along. If you don't go along, if you just stop, then you're not going to get anywhere, obviously. You're not going to change, and you're going to stagnate.
It's true. And the other thing we have to worry about is it seems that most things that are run by human hands, I mean, I'm going to get probably some flack for the statement, but it's, you know, people are greedy. Let's face facts. Maybe not me and you, like face to face or whatever, or over the phone here, but humanity in general is very reckless. I mean, just this world is completely falling apart. And, you know, I don't know.
Well, it's part of human nature, but another part of human nature is to rectify that and to, yeah, I don't think we've ever had such a sense of mass awareness before, where we know what justice is, where we know what unfairness is, and where we try to fix life's little wrongs. We've never had that before, and I think, you know, it's because of mass media, it's because we can see so much now, and that's just something we have to utilize.
It's unfortunate that people can't find justice sometimes, though, within themselves or humanity on the whole level. I mean, it all seems that everybody is just, I don't know, empty, and they're all trying to, you know, like millions of people will wait online at the Meadowlands to see Bruce Springsteen, you know, because they think that this is going to fulfill their lives. And then what does it get you, you know? An hour and a half concert, but, well,
very...
Bruce now about 4 hours, but...
That's a very good point. There's a lot of mass awareness, but there's a decreasing amount of individual awareness, and that's something that you're not going to get from TV. You're going to get that from yourself. You have to learn who you are.
It's correct. It's very true, and I think it's very easy to lose who you are because there's so many, I don't know, a lot of people on this planet that are just trying to be like other people, look like other people, act like other people, and stuff like that, and the individuals are being, you know, I don't know.
Who did I hear say that? Just, yeah, no, only kidding. But yes, you're right. I agree with that. You know, that we are all individuals. In fact, we all do something kind of bizarre. And, you know, we all know what it is. We all know our little thing that we don't tell anybody. We should be proud of that. We should be proud of those little things that make us different, that make us stand out and not fit in, because what's the point of being alive if you don't have a couple of those, you know?
Yeah, I agree 100%. So anyway, in closing, I just wanted to say I'll be uploading these phone numbers to assorted bulletin board services, and I want to get some feedback and some response from other members of the BBSs. So if I get anything interesting, whatever, I'll call back, let you know, or whatever, you know, I'll keep you posted on the situation, see
okay,
how it goes.
Are there any numbers that you want to give out here?
The thing is that it's a business. I think that would be sort of like a commercial.
Okay, well, it's, you know.
That's the thing is that these are not free. You have got to pay a membership fee. Now, I pay $10 a month, and that's not bad, you know. And then there's another one I know of. It's like $12 for the whole year. So, you know, prices vary. You got to look into these things, but they usually let you in. Like say first time caller, second time caller, you can get in for a limited amount of time and go in there, check it out, see what services they have, see if it's something valuable for you. There's also CompuServe, I'm sure people, and now they got this commercial on television for, what's that one that they're talking about, some data service. I guess you don't know it, huh?
Well, there's lots of data services, but...
Yeah, there's one specifically, though. They have a commercial for it. It's something similar to CompuServe, but...
Well, it's the source.
Yeah. Yeah, right. I don't know. I can't remember the name. But my point is that there's just tremendous amount of information available, and it's just up to people to use it, to exercise it, and that's about it.
I'll say this, though. I know CompuServe is extremely expensive.
It is. You have to pay a membership fee, and then it's also, like, it's over $12 an hour. And in computer time, an hour is not a lot of time to be...
No, not at all.
You know, you can't do much in an hour, because especially if you got email, you have to answer your email, then you'd like, you know, just a million things to do.
Plus, the system is slow. I mean,
right,
they
exactly.
Need to make it slow so that you end up paying more.
Well, that's another thing that's changing, is that there's modems now that are working faster and faster and faster with telephone lines.
Uh-huh.
I think they're up to 9,600 baud now, and it just keeps, you know, they eventually forget it. You'll be able to get it even quicker, the information.
Yeah, instantly. You won't even have to think about the transmission speed. It'll just be there.
That's
well,
true.
If you could send me that information either electronically or through the mail, I would appreciate it. Something with it over the air.
Right, that'd be very good. And that's really about it. Thanks for the time, and do a great show.
Okay, thank you. 632-6901, 26 minutes after 11 o'clock. Good evening, you're in Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric.
Hello.
I read a book about survival in other countries overseas, and if you're going to call those numbers in China again, I just thought you might like to know that to say, I do not speak Chinese. In Chinese, you say Chow Hai.
How do you spell that?
C-H-O-W H-A-I. That's how you pronounce it. I'm not sure the exact spelling.
Chow Hai?
Chow Hai.
Sounds like you're saying goodbye and hello, but I guess, okay. What I'll do is I will look that up in my Chinese book to make sure I'm not making a fool of myself. Yes, Europe is endless, as Kraftwerk is so adept at telling us. And if I do wind up going to this global hacker convention, which is taking place in Amsterdam this August, I'd like some advice as to what parts of Europe are interesting. You know, I know Amsterdam is a really interesting, fun place. There's no drug laws here, and that makes for some interesting people walking around the streets. And it's very youthful and rebellious. But then you got a place like London, in which, according to this book I have, which is called Europe 1988, obviously hopelessly outdated by now, the biggest problem in London is simply that there is always too much going on. I have happily spent entire vacations there and still haven't begun to exhaust the possibilities of that fascinating city. I envy those who have taken the time to explore the rest of Britain. Oh, the hazards of a trip to Europe. All kinds of bizarre places. Bizarre isn't quite the right word. I mean, they're not bizarre to the people that live there, but to us, there's just so much happening. So many different things, different tongues, different people. Munich, Vienna, Switzerland, Italy. It's incredible. And there's no place that you really can't go. You see, a lot of people say, oh, it's too expensive, I can't do this, I gotta do this. But, you know, it's possible. It's possible to make it happen somehow. I mean, anybody can get a Visa card, right? Anybody. Believe me, anybody can get a Visa card these days. And there's no point in not following the way that that the country is run. Well, you borrow money and use it to get by. It's the worst things. The only worst thing than that is not doing anything, not seeing anything while you're here. So, if folks have traveled, if you've been around Europe or even other parts of the world, tell us about it. For those of us that are journeying around and hitching rides, taking trains, hanging out with nothing but a knapsack, that's the true spirit of traveling. It's the true spirit of just seeking out your fellow human beings, finding out what's happening in the remote parts of the world. And, of course, speaking of the remote parts of the world, there's that that one place that they always try to warn you about, the place that they don't really let people in. And, yes, of course, that is Albania. The place that we always try to call, and in this very book, is information on what happens if you should actually happen to go to Albania and make it to that place. If, bear with me for a moment while I look through this huge thing. Passports, yes, everybody, British citizens, British visitors, passport. Of the countries covered in this guide, the following require a visa from American citizens. Albania, Bulgaria, if traveling alone, Czechoslovakia, East Germany, France. That's right, they're upset at us because of the Libyan bombing. That's right. Hungary, Poland, Romania, and Yugoslavia. And since the U.S. has no direct diplomatic relations with Albania, Americans must apply for visas through Albanian embassies in Paris or Rome, but should be warned that Americans are not often admitted. And according to the section on Albania, citizens of the U.S. are not admitted to Albania, nor is anyone employed as a journalist. U.K. citizens are allowed. The emphasis is on group tourism, and while contact with Albanians is not explicitly forbidden, it is not encouraged. Many bars and shops accept Western currency only, which effectively rules out Albanian customers. In addition, tourists are not allowed to travel on the relatively complete rail and bus system. And coastal regions are very hot in summer, with cool breezes, warm, humid wind in spring and fall. Get this, customs. Albanian customs confiscate books they don't approve of. They will be returned when you leave. You have to be a real moron to do this, but do not take any books of a pornographic, political, or religious nature. Above all, no Bibles. Cameras and photographic equipment are allowed, but make sure they are recorded on entry. Any books you buy in Albania are likely to be confiscated by the Yugoslav customs, so mail them straight home and take brown paper, jiffy bags, string, and adhesive tape with you. Postage is inexpensive. hotels are owned by the state, operated by Alb Tourist. They're either in main towns or fairly close to them. They're generally clean and comfortable, but often shabby and old-fashioned. Hotel standards vary enormously. Most of the provincial hotels were built over 35 years ago, and tourists must be prepared for erratic plumbing, carpentry, and fittings. Single rooms are unobtainable. Never drink tap water. Typical Balkan foods such as kebabs, soups, including a yogurt soup with sliced cucumbers, soft-boiled eggs for breakfast and cold omelet, which they say is better than it sounds, fresh fish from sea or lakes, good light local beer, fiery raki, plum brandy, and many pleasant varieties of wine, several very sweet liqueurs. Coffee is drunk in the Turkish manner, I'm not quite sure what that means, and tea is drunk without milk. Do not take pictures of docks, military establishments, or military personnel, because Albanians, particularly in the rural areas, are unused to tourists with elaborate cameras. Ask their permission before you take their pictures, although they seldom object. And if in doubt, ask your guide to explain before you shoot. And the one of the most interesting things I found with Albanian travel is post offices are open from about 8 a.m. till 10 p.m., including Sundays. I think we can learn a thing or two from that. And international telephone calls can be made from post offices, though connection may take a very long time. And finally, the services of a doctor are free, but prescriptions must be paid for. Another interesting way of doing things. But that's only one country. It happens to be the most unobtainable country there is, it seems. But Europe and the world are full of other countries, other places to go. And I'd like to hear if anyone has been to an interesting place, either this year or any other time, or if you're thinking of going to a place like that. What kind of experiences you had, what kind of advice you would offer for those of us that might end up in a similar kind of a place. Our number is 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Hey, how are you?
Okay, how are you?
Not bad. See, I call up. I lived overseas for a while.
Yeah, where'd you live?
Hold on, let me turn the radio. Yeah, I could hear you.
Oh,
I lived in Ireland.
You lived in Ireland?
Yeah, in the Republic.
Uh-huh.
And, it's good. It's a beautiful place to visit. There's a lot to do. So, you know, a couple weeks vacation.
There are a lot of, is train travel easy in Ireland?
Yeah, pretty much. There's not really a hell of a lot of trains because it's really not a very urban country. There's maybe, three or four cities that are hooked up by trains.
Uh-huh.
They really don't, like Dublin is hooked into Limerick. I lived in Limerick. You know, there's trains around. It's probably not as easy as it would be to get around here or England.
Yeah, England is amazing. You can really...
England probably has the most miles of track, per square mile.
Uh-huh. Let me ask you this. Now, in this country, as you know, we drive on the right. And over there, England, Ireland, they drive on the left.
Right. Australia, too.
Australia, anything remotely English that is still on good terms with them, whereas we broke away from them, and obviously we want to be separate from them. But
the Irish wanted to be separate from the English for hundreds of years.
But they haven't succeeded, have they?
Well, almost succeeded.
Yes, almost succeeded, too.
Almost.
My question is, do trains go on the left as well?
I never took a train when I was there.
Really? Never once in Ireland? You ever saw a train?
No, I never got on a train. Right. I've seen them. I tell you, I really didn't pay attention to that.
Well, I think that's the question of the hour. Do the trains travel on the left side as well as the cars? I know here in this country it happens sometimes that the train will travel on the left side, but...
Yeah, I was never on a train when I was over there. I hitchhiked around mostly.
How's that when you hitchhike in Europe?
It's beautiful.
Uh-huh.
It's really great. You can hitchhike over there. It's extremely safe compared to here. Because in the whole Republic of Ireland, there's maybe two or three murders a year out of a population of nearly 4 million, and usually those is related to the IRA or something else, knocking off a bank guard, holding up, some money or something.
Uh-huh.
There's very, very, very little crime over there. Very little. It's very safe, and people are very glad. No local resentment against Americans like you get in some countries, because almost everybody over there has family over here in the States.
Well, you know, I find within in the vast majority of countries, possibly the exception of Iran, people are generally glad to see Americans. They don't really harbor grudges against us as people. Our government, they're not too crazy about sometimes, but...
I've had people who went overseas and, got some flack, from various, people, well, troublemakers of sorts.
I know if you don't make an effort to speak French in France, they tend to...
French, I know people have problems. Italy, too, I know some people that, had problems.
Uh-huh. Well, most of those problems are with hotels, right? And cab drivers, things like that?
Yeah, things like that, restaurants.
Uh-huh.
No, where
right.
People, have an attitude towards you.
But if you go and hang out with some people on a farm or something like that, you'll...
Usually people are people everywhere, they won't hold anything against you. It's like that over here. But Ireland, it's great, people are always glad to see you,
Uh-huh.
They're very friendly over there.
Now, was Ireland the only place you stayed in?
Yeah.
Excuse the interruption, emergency.
Uh-oh.
26157.
Okay, we don't want a phone number to be given out there, so we had to disconnect. 632-6901 is our telephone number. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
My name's Vinny.
Yeah, name's what?
Vinny.
Vinny?
Yeah.
Is that spelled with a Y or an I-E?
I-E.
I-E, got it. Okay, two N's, right?
Yeah.
Got it. Can I help you?
I'm calling about this Chinese phone number thing. I wasn't here for the earlier program, and can you explain what's going on here?
Sure. We were giving out telephone numbers to the snitch lines over in China, the numbers that the Chinese authorities are giving out over their TV. For Chinese citizens to call in and turn in their fellow neighbors and sons and daughters if they suspect them of being counter-revolutionaries. What we're doing is we're giving out the phone numbers and explaining how some people, we're not really encouraging this, but we are saying that it is happening. Some people are calling those numbers repeatedly and either tying them up and preventing them from being used for what they're intended for, or simply talking to the people on the other end and making them see the other side of the story. If you want, we'll give out the numbers afterwards.
Yeah, that would be helpful.
Okay, we'll give them out close to midnight. How's that?
Okay.
All right.
Can I say one more thing?
If you have to.
Okay. Did you ever notice how much Ronald Reagan and Mr. Snuffleupagus sound alike?
You mean the way they talk, or?
Yeah.
Wow. That's something. That's something. do you have a theory?
No, it's just that... It seems Ronald Reagan is the voice behind Mr. Snuffleupagus.
Well, that's quite an accusation there, and it's a good thing you're in this country making it. Thanks for calling. 632-6901. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hey, yeah. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Yeah. My name is Vito. I'm calling about this gay guy who just called you up talking about Snuffleupagus or whatever his name is.
Well, you obviously must know him very well if you know he's gay.
Yeah. Actually, I do.
Do you want to talk about it? Do you want to talk about it to us?
No, I'd rather not. I'd like to get on this China subject here.
All right, you're on it. Go ahead.
These phone numbers, what will they get you?
They'll either get you an American recording saying your call cannot be completed at this time in the country you are dialing, or it will get you a busy signal, or it will get you an out-of-order signal, or it will get you a ring that doesn't pick up, or it will get you a ring that does pick up and has somebody talking Chinese to you. That's pretty much it.
Is there any Chinese restaurants you could call it and maybe get takeout all the way from China?
I don't know. Let me check. Whoops, I hit the button by mistake. He's gone. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage.
Hello, Eric. How you doing?
Okay, how are you?
Pretty good.
Where are you calling from?
San Remo.
San Remo?
Yeah.
Okay, yes, that mysterious little place there.
I listen to your show all the time, and you know the Sammy guy who always calls?
Yeah.
Well, I was curious, is he a friend of yours or something?
Everybody who calls my show is a friend of mine, but it doesn't go any deeper than that.
Yeah, because he seems pretty cool. Just the other day, my Uncle Wayne, he brought me home a turtle, right? And, I had no idea what to name my turtle, and I was listening to your show, and I said, hey, Sammy, that's pretty cool, because this guy seems neat,
Sammy the turtle.
No, I'm saying I couldn't name my turtle, because my Uncle Wayne brought me home a turtle.
So you named him Sammy?
What?
You named your turtle Sammy.
Yeah, because I was listening and I heard him. I thought he was pretty cool, and I was wondering if he was like a friend of yours or something,
Well, if you were listening to him, you were also listening to me, weren't you?
Of course.
Well, how come you didn't name the turtle after me?
I don't know, because Sammy...
You're saying Sammy's cooler than me? Sammy, don't call my show anymore, Sammy. What? Sammy should not call my show if he's cooler than me. I mean, that's not right. The host should always be the coolest one.
Yeah, but he knows what he's talking about, you know?
That's true, he does. I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
He's an expert. He's an expert on everything he says, I know.
Yeah. He knows what he's doing.
Yeah. And what he's done.
Yeah.
So, what else is on your mind tonight?
Nothing. I was really curious. I had to call you and ask you about this.
Uh-huh.
Really.
What did you ask me?
If you knew about this guy, Sammy.
Oh.
But I thought, you know, this is something going on here. You know, I didn't know.
Yeah, well, no, Sammy calls quite a bit, but, you know, that's about all we know here. And that's our story, and we're sticking to it.
Yeah.
Anything else?
No.
Okay, well, thanks for calling.
You're welcome.
Our number, again, is 632-6901, talking about all kinds of things, Chinese, non-Chinese, European, music, all kinds of fun things like that. We have open lines, 632-6901, area code 516. We'll be giving out the snitch lines again later on at the end of the program. And what else? Do we have anything else here? Well, there's details in all kinds of countries here in this book that I have. Europe 1988. Things from Iceland to Holland, England, West Germany. Okay, here's an interesting story for you. If anybody knows any details on this, you go into Berlin, right? You can take a road that goes through West Berlin. Through West Germany, and I guess a lot of people don't know this still, but Berlin is half Western, half Eastern. There's a wall called the Berlin Wall. However, the city is well into East Germany. It's not on the border of West Germany and East Germany. It's in East Germany. It's really in there quite a bit. So here you have this city. It's kind of like an island in the middle of a communist country. Now, you may ask, how does one get to that city if they're on the western side? It seems that there's two ways of doing it. Well, actually, three ways. You can fly in, you can take a train, or you can take a highway. Which leads me to a rather obvious question. Well, there's a highway going from West Germany to Berlin. How come everybody jumps over the wall in Berlin when they can just walk onto a highway which goes straight to West Germany and which has lots of West German people going from West Germany to West Berlin? Do they have a wall along the whole highway? And I mean, this is what I'm curious about. And if nobody tells me, I'll just have to go and find out for myself. And I'd really like to know before I do that, because I'll probably do something to get me in trouble and then I'll never come back. So if you have answers, comments, questions, that kind of thing, our number is 632-6901, area code 516. We only have about 12 minutes left, so if you're in a car thinking you get a call when you get home, pull over now. Find that payphone. Call us, 632-6901. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
It got cut off before.
Yeah, you had an emergency interrupt and we had to hang up on you because otherwise your phone number would have been given out over the air.
Thank you.
Yeah,
thank
no problem.
You
know. No, we couldn't do that.
By the way, I know that guy's Uncle Wayne.
What guy's Uncle Wayne?
He did just call.
Oh.
He's a nut.
A nut, huh?
He's a real, real maniac, a political subversive of the worst kind.
Wow.
His politics are somewhere to the right of Genghis Khan, I'd say.
That's really something.
That is far out, I know. He's... never mind. But anyway, my brother is in the army in Germany. He went to West Berlin.
Okay, do you know how to do it?
He took like a bus in down the highway.
Okay, how does this highway work?
From what I believe is, from what he told me, there's a checkpoint when you go across the border into East Germany. You know, there's like, you know, they have the Iron Curtains right on the border. And you cross the border, and you know they let the bus through, and then pretty much the highway just leads to West Berlin.
Okay.
Like, there's like no exits. You know, like a foreign traveler is going to get off on and say, "Oh, I'm going to go motor about the country and see what's going on." It more or less just goes, you know, straight to Berlin.
Now, is there another checkpoint when you get to Berlin?
I think the highway goes right into West Berlin, so they have like a customs thing there, but it's not East German.
Well, it seems to me that if you're in East Germany, all you have to do is get onto that highway, hitch a ride with somebody who's going to West Berlin, and you're in.
No, it's not going to happen, because there's a point at the highway you have to cross. It's East German guards going in and going out.
So when you're going to... Yeah, but you said there was just the customs at...
Right, the thing is, like, West Berlin is surrounded, you know, it's surrounded by East Germany. It's also surrounded by, you know, a wall. So that's the thing. It's like there's a wall at the border, and then there's a wall around half the city of West Berlin.
Are you saying the wall goes around West Berlin?
Well, through, like, the part where you could get into it. There's no, you know, it's all closed up. It's like an island, just like you said.
Uh-huh. It's fascinating, because a lot of people don't really understand what that means.
It's an island right in the middle. It's about 150 miles into East Germany.
Yeah, that's fascinating.
About 100, and see, it's under the triple. It was on. I don't know if they're still there. The triple occupation of British, French, and UK forces after the war, where the Russians got the other half of the city.
Right, there's different sectors.
Germany, but we all, like, the Western Allies took one half of Berlin, and the Russians took the other half.
Uh huh.
They did, after all, take it.
Uh huh.
But
you think that wall's ever going to come down?
Well, sooner or later.
Mm-hmm.
Sooner or later, it'll come down.
I think it might be sooner, so
you know,
if you want to see it, you should get over there.
But from what my brother said, West Berlin itself is a pretty wild town.
It is.
It's like you know, a real party town. There's a lot going on, a lot of red light district action.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like you said, you get cash and bars and stuff if that's what you're into. You know, it's a real liberal, crazy kind of place. You know, I mean, a lot of... You know, it's like Amsterdam in a way, in that way.
You ever been to Amsterdam?
Nah. I only been to Ireland.
Uh-huh.
That's the only place I've... Don't get caught with no joints in Ireland.
Why? What happens?
You'll do hard time.
Oh, really? This is the kind of stuff I need to know.
I was in Ireland in 81, and there was an American living there who got caught growing a plant in his backyard or something. Somebody must have snitched on him or something.
Yeah.
And they gave him 25 to life. And they don't fool around over there.
That's amazing. I had no idea.
It is possible to maybe sneak a joint in through customs. I shouldn't say this on the air, but, you know, that is because customs, they're really not going to go through you with a fine-tooth comb because the IRA doesn't bomb Irish airports, of course.
Uh-huh.
So they're really not, they're really not going to go over you too much, but I wouldn't advise it because if you get caught, you're in big trouble.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not like anywhere else is pretty much liberal over there. Ireland is, you know, the Catholic Church is written into the constitution of the country over there. And, you know, there's a lot of things over there we might find strange. Like, to get condoms, you have to be married. Well, you had to be married when I was there, and you had to get a prescription from your doctor.
That's amazing. That's crazy.
Yeah, it's very very conservative country, in a lot of ways.
Incredible. Well, thanks for the information, sir.
All right, so, hey, Wayne, give me a call.
Not emergency interrupts, though.
Okay.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
632-6901. Yes, and I found the section on Berlin here. If you drive or go by train, you'll need a transit visa from the German Democratic Republic, otherwise known as East Germany. This can be obtained at an interzonal border checkpoint. The so-called People's Police of East Germany have been known to cause great difficulties and complications for petty or even non-existent reasons, and extricating oneself from these complications can easily turn out to be difficult and time-consuming, which is why most tourists fly. I get the feeling that the person who wrote this was involved in something like that. East and West Berlin are a third the size of Luxembourg, and a third of Berlin consists of water, trees, and fields. And the Kurfürstendamm is the heart of West Berlin. It's a famous shopping street. And after dark, it's transformed into the throbbing heart of Berlin nightlife. This is Theaterland. And other highlights of West Berlin are the zoo and stuff like that. I'm trying to find out about East Berlin. See what they say about that. If you're lucky enough to get over there. They don't say much about it, do they? They don't say much about it at all. Wow. Well, anyway. Our number is 632-6901. Sorry about the lack of information here, but that's just the way it is. Hopefully we'll get more information as the day goes on. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Yeah, my name is Vinny.
Okay, hi Vinny.
Yeah, I'm calling about that other dude that his name is Vinny too.
Uh-huh, well it's possible that his name was also Vinny.
I think he's trying to steal my name.
Well, I don't want to frighten you or anything like that, but there's probably thousands, maybe millions of people in the world with the name of Vinny, and a lot of them don't even know who you are. It's just coincidence.
Why do you all trying to steal my name?
Well, you could take them to court, but I don't think you would win.
No?
I don't think so, because, you see, you didn't pick your name, did you? You didn't select it yourself, somebody else did. Now, maybe your parents could sue their parents. That might work. But you can't do it because you didn't pick the name yourself. Okay? I probably just saved you a lot of money here, but it's okay. We're even.
All right?
Vote
for me.
Okay. 632-6901. I'm not authorized to offer legal advice, but occasionally I do. It's just a hobby. Good evening. You're on Brain Damage. Educational radio. That's all I have to say. Good evening, you're on Brain Damage.
Eric?
Hi.
Hi, it's Adam again.
Hi, Adam again.
I just had a little static before, now that wasn't me. Anyway, yeah, I've seen pictures of West Berlin on TV and East Berlin. And it's funny because West Berlin looks sort of like Tokyo or New York City. And East Berlin looks like gray shit.
Uh-huh.
There's nothing there.
Well, it's a depressing place, people say, but you can never really find out until you check it out for yourself.
This was supposedly the busiest street in East Berlin.
Sorry?
No one was there.
Nobody was on the busiest street in Berlin? East Berlin?
That's right.
That's something. Where do you think they all were?
There's a more pressing matter. There's not one skate park on Long Island.
You've been going on about this before. There's not one. Well, you got to make one then, because there's plenty.
But there's a problem. I can't afford the liability insurance personally to start it up.
What liability insurance?
Because it can be dangerous occasionally.
Uh-huh. Well, what do other people do?
In other places, there's not as much. You know, insurance doesn't cost as much.
Uh-huh.
But people start them.
Well, I don't know what to suggest. You could move.
I say, Suffolk County secedes from New York State.
Uh-huh.
And has low insurance. And that would be cool.
Yeah, well, don't hold your breath on that. Because Peconic wants to secede from Suffolk County.
I think I'll move there.
And so does Brookhaven, actually, so you might not even have to move.
Then maybe if Suffolk secedes from the United States, then we could really have an interesting...
Well, you want to lead a Marxist rebellion?
You can have the Brookhaven Township declare war against the United States.
It's worth a try. First, we have to find something that gets us really upset that the United States did.
So we do have a chance.
Yeah. Anything's possible. I mean, look what the Ayatollah did. He didn't have a chance.
I think that also Brookhaven National Laboratories, we can make nukes.
We certainly can. We still have shore, and we could start it up again.
Yeah, we can make nukes. That's it.
And, most importantly, we have WUSB... Stony Brook.
Yes, and that'll be the cornerstone of the entire movement.
The voice of truth.
Yes, the voice of absolute truth. The voice of absolute truth is like a little bit below you on the radio dial.
No, don't venture down there or you'll never get out. Thanks for calling.
All right, bye.
And the absolute truth is that we are out of time. But as we promised before, we are going to give you those phone numbers one more time. For the Chinese snitch lines, and if you want to call them and tie them up and confuse them and prevent people from ratting on other people in China, or just spreading the other side of the story to the folks answering the phone, that's your business. Here are the numbers. They all begin with 011, which is the international dialing access. 86 is the country code for China. and 1 is the city code for Beijing. So all these numbers would begin with 011-861. The phone numbers are 512-4848, 512-5666, 443-292-256-3483, 256-7220, 372-316, 664-215, 665-088, 371-554, 872-179, and 873-814. And that's it. You might want to hit the old pound sign key after you dial that number. That speeds things up, they say. So let us know what happens if you get through. If you don't get through, we'd like to hear about it. I'm Eric Corley. We'll be back again next week for another round of Brain Damage. Stay tuned for Brother Nick Capozzi now with all kinds of interesting music and conversation surprises, that kind of thing. Be seeing you next week. Good night.
Of the grass, remembering games, daisy chains, and locks. Got to keep the loonies off the park. The lunatic is in the hall. The lunatics are in my hall. The paper holds their folded faces to the floor. Every day the paper boy brings more.
This is Pete filling in for Beth with a concert billboard for Sunday, June 18th. Tonight you can catch Bob Hope and Rosemary Clooney at Westbury Music Fair, Coco Taylor at Stephen Talkhouse, all those shows tonight. Tuesday, Hiroshima will be at the New Ritz, while Pilgrim Souls and Swimming Pool Cues will be at the Cap Club. On Wednesday, you can catch McCoy Tyner at Indigo Blues, Sid Straw at Bottom Line, Zymox and Mauve at Downtown, all those shows on Wednesday. On Thursday, the 6th Annual Suffolk Film and Video Competition will be at the Intermediate Arts Center in Huntington, and the Bad Company concert is canceled. That won't be shown at the New Ritz, so remember, Bad Company is canceled on Thursday. Hilton Ruiz at the Indigo Blues. You can catch Iron Butterfly at the Cat Club, Kate Clinton at the Bottom Line, and Toy Caldwell at Stephen Talkhouse, all those shows on Thursday. On Friday, you can catch the Beach Boys and Chicago playing together at the Meadowlands. Billy Preston and David Fathead Newman will be at the Blue Note. EU will be at Downtown. Eddie Gomez at Fat Tuesdays. Henry Lee Summer at the Bottom Line. John Zorn will be playing the Knitting Factory. Maynard Ferguson will be playing the West Barron Music Fair. Miles Davis and Wynton Marsalis at the Avery Fisher Hall. You can catch Stanley Turrentine and David Valentin at Pier 81. Steps Ahead at the Intermediate Arts Center in Huntington. Steve Miller at the Jones Beach Theater. Stiff Little Fingers at the New Ritz. The Wailers at Bay Street. And Zymox and Mauve at Spit, all those shows on Friday. On Saturday, you can catch the Beach Boys and Chicago again at the Meadowlands. Billy Preston and David Fathead Newman at the Blue Note once again. Eddie Gomez at Fat Tuesdays. Jay and the Americans at the West Barron Music Fair. John Zorn at the Knitting Factory. Lionel Hampton and George Benson at Carnegie Hall. Michael Franks will be at Bottom Line. Steel Pulse will be at Bay Street. Steps Ahead and Yellow Jackets will be playing the Avery Fisher Hall on Saturday. And that has been the Concert Billboard for WUSB Stony Brook. The billboard can be heard on weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and midnight. For more information, simply call the station here at 632-6901.
This next dedication is for all you DJs out there. Out there.
Речь.